Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk radio station. Hello! Welcome to the couch. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to shriek you good today. Well, me and my special guest. Where did they get that word from anyway? Shrink. I'm going to shrink your head, take away all your problems. Well, yeah, we're going to have a great show as usual today. And, you know, I gave you a little taste last week of what we are going to be talking about. You know, it's so weird. I was thinking that every day we make choices to do or not to do a lot of things. And these choices might range from, you know, profound to trivial. And, you know, each one, it seems, has an effect that makes our lives more fulfilling or less fulfilling, more balanced or less balanced. And some of the choices make our process of living more effective. You know what I'm saying? And I found that many life coaches can help you learn how to make choices that create an effective, balanced, fulfilling life. Yeah, I've worked with a lot of life coaches. You guys know that. You've heard that. If you're a regular listener, as a matter of fact, you probably heard me interview a lot of life coaches, authors, experts. And what's interesting about it is that it's a profession that's somewhat different from consulting and mentoring, advice, or even, you know, therapy, like psychologists, the stuff I do. And the coaching process usually addresses specific personal projects, general conditions, transitions in the client's personal life. You know, we're talking about relationships, business successes, profession, what's going on right now, challenges, choices, all that stuff, you know. A lot of people don't know what a coach does, but many of the coaches who I've worked with, who I think are really excellent, who also includes my guest today, we're going to be talking to, go by the premise that you, the client, really are the only expert in your entire life who truly knows who you are and what you need. And you are the only expert who can recognize what's absolutely best for you. And, you know, it's really important for you to have a coach that will encourage you to do so. Kind of help you discover what your own personal best might be. So that's really the quick and dirty about life coaches and my experiences. But those are really the best, in my opinion, in referring them out and working with life coaches. But my special in-studio guest today, Shea Prince Eternal, is one of those really good personal life coaches, I think. And, if you've listened to The Couch before, you have heard her in the past. And I really enjoy having her on because, you know, the way she works with people. And what I like about her approach is she's kind and gentle and non-judgmental. And that's a really important thing, you know, and very loving, too. So she's also kind of a little more spiritual kind of a person, which helps to inspire her clients. Her name is Shea Prince Eternal. She's dedicated most of her life in guiding folks back to themselves. She studied shamanism 15 years, focusing on spiritual leadership and the healing of one's total being. And that's so important when we're talking about coaching. Her wide range of experiences include facilitator and executive administrator of Afrasia. Hope I pronounced that right. Did I pronounce that right?
Afrasia.
Thank you. I will say that correctly in the future, I promise.
No big deal.
The Temple of Wamai. Teacher and life coach of Dragon Light Keepers, ordained minister, self-empowerment and self-love specialist, motivational speaker, so many, and the list goes on and on. And she's set the deliberate intention of encouraging the raising of self-esteem also in children, adults, and a diverse community. So without further ado, Shia, thanks for coming into the studio. It's so cool to have you here.
Well, thank you for such an introduction, and I am amazingly glad to be here. It's such a beautiful day. I'm looking out the windows at the clouds, and they're looking wonderful, and you're looking wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure, my dear.
Hello to all the listeners as well.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. And by the way, listeners, if you have a question or comment or would like to ask my special guest a question about something going on in your life, feel free to call in here live on the air. The number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And if you're shy, you'd rather not get your voice on the air, you can email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Because that's what we do here. We tell it like it is. You know, no BS,
like it
right?
Is. Exactly.
So today, you know, we're going to be talking about, what it's like to be such a really hardworking life coach and some of your principles that I really love and sort of how to help folks with some of the most common issues they have.
Yes.
So what I'm always fascinated with at the beginning is finding out from specialists what their life situations were and some of the people who influenced and inspired them to become, you know, life coaches and helpers and stuff. So what were some of those things for you, Shia?
For me, it starts all the way back to grade school, actually. Mm. I was always sort of more serious as a child. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because I'm the opposite now. Now I'm always cracking jokes.
And
good. One of my major things I'm known for in my coaching is my laughter. I love to laugh and I love to play. And that kind of gives the client a more comfortable feeling, kind of gets them kind of off guard, you know
what right.
I'm saying? We're having fun, in other words.
Right.
But back to the answer to your question, I've always wanted to help people with going through things, even as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's interesting when I look back on we create our own reality, as one teacher that I totally resonate with says often, that we create our own reality.
Yes.
And even as children, we do. And so sometimes that concept is maybe a little bit complex to grasp.
Sure.
Because those children that have gone through different things that didn't feel good,
mm-hmm.
Maybe say, well, I certainly would not have created that, please.
Yeah, exactly.
But we do.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because, look, we came in perfect.
That's right.
We came in perfect. We're here to experience things and mm-hmm. to play games and pretend like we're this, that, and the other. And I know that sounds a bit weird sometimes, a bit out of the box, because when we're crying, when we're in the midst of tears or or sadness or hurt or anger or anything that doesn't feel good, we're like, Shia, you are crazy. I did not create this.
That's, exactly. Why would I ask for this?
And which brings me to my childhood, which I've asked about.
Yes, tell me.
Yes.
What's that about?
Well, I experienced a lot of things that didn't feel good growing up.
Sorry, honey.
But don't be. You know what? It's what made me who I am today. Now, I can tell people, look, it's okay. You can make it through anything. We can. I mean, the thing is, the trick is, and the secret is, why are we looking back? It's not happening anymore unless we're constantly replaying it. And I have a thing that I suggest for my clients sometimes is, if you're open to totally recreating, it's so worth it. I have recreated my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I know my parents were disempowered in the first place. My parents were hurting. That's why they made some of the decisions they made, not because they were trying to hurt any of us.
Yeah, exactly. That's so wonderful. So you kind of, as you said, recreated your childhood. You know, it's funny, I like to use a tool to help people too. It's called reparenting. And that's the same principle. We just kind of hug our, here, high five.
High five.
We just learn to sort of be the parents to ourselves that we never had. And try to love ourselves and forgive ourselves. So I have these sessions sometimes, and it's very tactile, but of hugging. I know it sounds, some people get really comfortable, but uncomfortable. But I say, you know, this is a place where there's no judgment. You get to do it. Hold yourself and just feel it and say, you know what? You're a good soul. You're a good person.
Oh, yes.
You didn't ask per se for, you know, to feel so horrible. Maybe you did for the knowledge. For the experience. But
for the experience.
Forgive yourself.
Maybe. I mean, I love that. I totally love that. I love hugging myself and holding myself. And in working myself through, I'm the first one that will tell any of my clients, and I tell you, the audience right now, that I'm not coaching anyone something that I would not coach myself or have not coached myself.
Right.
And if I fall back on a former vibration or get off sometimes, I still coach myself.
Right.
So
right,
I'm not trying to pretend as though, oh, now I'm way up here and you're way down there and I never experienced this, that, and the other, because that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now I know how to use my tools to bring myself back.
Yes.
And one very good tool is hugging ourselves.
Yes.
I even kiss myself.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, you just...
I take my hand and I put it up to my mouth and I go, oh, Shia, I love you so much.
Oh.
And it's very special because I didn't always have that.
Right.
Exactly. I wasn't always in love with me.
Well, you know, I find that most people, when we talk about, you know, getting rid of low self-esteem, it's really hard to start with self-love. It's easier to start with just self-like. Try to like yourself at least a little bit. And
exactly.
You know, yeah.
That's totally.
Stop that voice in your head that was moms, dads, caregivers, bullies, whoever saying, you're not good enough. You're stupid. You're not right enough. You're not this enough. And just stop that in your head and just be with who you are and like yourself and know that you would never do that to someone else.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. That was just one of my, either I wrote it or said it recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, are you treating other people kinder than you're treating yourself? Are you talking to someone in a kinder manner? Are you giving people more props and kudos than you give yourself?
Yes.
Because here's the secret.
Yeah.
If we love ourselves first, or even like ourselves, like the doctor was just saying, even if we like ourselves, then that's a start. And the way you start with that is pay attention. Notice the things you do like about yourself.
Yes.
I have some of my clients write these things down. And teachers all over the world suggest journaling of some sort. So I've actually researched that recently.
Yeah.
And it cements it into the universe.
Yes.
It puts more of a statement that you're going to remember.
Yes.
Because you've now put it on paper.
Exactly.
It's
out there in the world, and then it's something also you can look at every day. And,
totally.
You know, you and I have talked about affirmations and the non-hokey ones, the ones we really believe. Life is perfect.
And simple things about yourself.
Wonderful. That's right.
I like my smile. Write it down.
Yes. Yeah.
I like my voice.
Yes.
Write it down. I like my eyes.
There you go.
Write it down. Simple things. I like the way I decorate a house, or I like the way I draw or color, or I like the way, whatever it is you like about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to notice that so that's the beginning steps of liking yourself. You find things that you like about yourself, and then that can go into loving yourself.
Speaking about which, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, a life coach, Shia Prince Eternal. We're talking about, you know, empowerment, I can't say the word, empowerment. There you go. And you also have the acronym IAAM on your website. What does that mean?
IAAM is my company that I have founded with the intention of empowering people. IAAM stands for I Am Who I Am, and it's all about me. So turn that around and understand that it's all about you. It's all about you. You are waiting for you.
Yes.
You're the only one that can really come up to bat for yourself. You're the only one that can bring healing to yourself, can bring good feeling to yourself, and make it last.
Right.
You're the only one that's going to always be with you.
So true. That's exactly what you said in one of your blogs, which I really love, too. That was perfect. It's so true.
Thank you.
I mean, it's true, but we are the only ones. I mean, of course, you know, we have partners, relatives who are wonderful, friends who are wonderful.
Of course.
And, you know, but we are, damn, in the darkness of our own scary nights, or, you know, just kind of being there and trying to work out issues. We're the only ones, sort of, we have. It's nice to be comforted.
It
is. We have to be with that self of, okay, all right.
Yes.
Let's work on this. Let's get it all figured out. And
yes.
And when you say it's all about me, IAAM, you're not talking about narcissism. I want to make that clear, because I know a lot of people say, well, folks who try to love themselves and, you know, they're narcissists. No, completely the opposite, because narcissists usually don't. That's why they're so fearful and angry and putting stuff on everybody else.
Right.
So, you know. So let's talk about some of the most common issues that you help your clients with, Shia. What are those?
Well,
many.
there are many. People mostly want to feel better about themselves. So that's key. Raising self-esteem, key. People worry about weight, key. People worry about family relationships or partner relationships, key. People's children, spiritual paths, which I encourage my clients to find what feels good for them, even if there's no label, no path that they feel that they resonate with in terms of a religion, but what makes you feel good? That's all. It doesn't have to have a religious title or anything like that.
Right.
Just what makes you feel good? What makes you feel in sync with your highest best self, where you feel good, peaceful, happy, you're excited about life, or you're calmly at peace and you love certain things like going out to the ocean and looking at the water, or looking at the clouds, or listening to some soothing music that just feels really good to listen to.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Doesn't matter what it is.
It really doesn't matter, but it's sort of that, what, being in the zone that you encourage and empower people to find.
Oh, and abundance. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Abundance as well. That's another thing that I find clients really wanting help with, is abundance, the abundance piece. And what we sometimes don't realize is true abundance is being happy. So what makes you happy?
You're so right. So, you know, it's interesting, because I've read so much about you, and we've known each other for a long time.
Yes.
And it's lovely. And in your coaching work, you talk about the importance of identifying those target areas, which some of those things we just talked about, which are, as you say, known and hidden. And in psychology, we call it kind of deep down in the subconscious, to help us bring positive direction and desired results in our lives. So how do you help clients identify, you know, those things? There's a lot of people that say, I don't know where I want to go in life. And that's what life coaches do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of.
Yeah. What I do is, when I give a consultation, we talk about things that have been bothering the client. And then I compile a outline, an outline, according to what we have talked about. And I ask key questions. They're telling me, well, I'd love to do this and I'd love to do that. And let's just talk about a career path. I've helped some of my clients with career paths. I want to do this. I want to do that. but I'm working this job and I'm not happy with it and I want to quit it and I want to do my own business, but I'm wondering how will I pay my bills and blah,
right.
blah, blah. Like
one of
that.
The most common things. Huh, that
so
we
that's,
hear.
That's right. yes. Right. Yes. So you relate to that. Yes.
Right.
So I write down key things that they mention in the consultation and
yes.
then usually what I do is actually record the consultation and then I make an outline on the key points that we're going to touch on and how I'm going to take them into that step by step. Mm. And then I mail the outline to them and we see if that's a match. We
yes.
we discuss whether, okay, so do you agree with this? Do you agree with that? Do you agree with taking this step and then this step and then this step?
Mm-hmm.
And do you agree to flow and be organic with it?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I am very organic. I'm not going to say, well, we did number one, and so maybe let's just say something else comes up.
Right.
But we're supposed to be on number two. No, I'm going to flow organically.
Everybody takes their own time.
Yes.
And they have
totally.
Their own. Sometimes they may jump to step four or whatever, you know, you
yes.
do.
Yes. I've seen
them.
That.
Right.
I've seen that happen.
And then they'll come back to one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's up to me to just mm-hmm. kind of keep an yeah. eye on what's going on with
yeah.
them.
Yes.
So that's
so neat. I like where you talk about in your work the baby step process, which you say gently holds a strong space for us to grow as we face changes towards a more peaceful and successful life. So,
yes.
so what's this baby step? I kind of have a feeling. See, I listen to a lot of Esther Hicks. You know, I love
and
her,
I do
her
too.
Work.
I love it
do.
Too.
And she talks about taking baby steps. So what is,
oh,
what
I hadn't
is
heard
your
her
interpretation
that.
And what is your sort of, you know, help that you give others to take those steps? And what does that mean, actually? What does that mean?
I think babies, first of all, I love the and totally resonate with the concept that when we come into the bodies, we come into a baby, we're basically recycling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like really this being that knows nothing and has no clue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's the way we established such an ingenious game of going in and out of the physical since we start off in the non-physical. So it's amazing. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And if you notice, people jump out of their bodies or what they say die. At all different ages. It's not just the
yeah.
elderly or one age. It's all different ages.
Right.
So with the baby step process, when we jump into a baby, we sort of start out with a new clean slate.
Yes.
We start out with a clean slate.
Right.
So you see this baby, and some babies, like I'm experiencing, a friend of mine just had a baby 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it looks like her whole body is trying to jump off of that couch and or jump out of your lap and walk. She's like, well, I know I can do this.
Right.
Oh, and she's just squirming and squirming because she's ready. She wants to walk now.
Her muscles are not quite ready yet. Her will is strong, but her body is not yet.
So she hasn't yeah. she hasn't yeah. learned yet. And
yeah.
she's yeah. And like you said, her body's not even ready yet. So. I mean, that would just look weird to see a baby jump up out of the cradle and they just start walking.
Right.
Or they just born, newborn, right. 3 days old, and they
right.
just hop down up the, out
yeah,
of the bassinet or off your lap
right.
and just start walking all over the place. So that is, to me, what the baby steps mean is mm-hmm. observe a baby. They go through steps. They start off the infant. And they're just kind of looking around and blah, blah. And then the next thing you know, in a couple of weeks, they're looking around more and raising their heads and holding their heads. And as time passes, their head, they can hold their head stronger and,
yes.
and
yeah.
their back is, mm-hmm. is straighter and they don't flop all over the place like they were. So there's a baby step. They've just taken a step to controlling their head. Then they take another step to controlling their back and eating more than they were. And then they take another step and before you know it, they can sit alone. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, they're in their little walkers first, walking around in the walker with the support of that whole walker.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, they're trying to crawl. Some of them crawl backwards first. That's a baby step. And some of them crawl with a one-legged crawl.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all different forms of crawling.
Yes.
But all of these are baby steps that eventually lead to walking. And when you walk, it's still a process. It's like you've crawled, and now they pull up to a table or couch or what it is, and then, boom, they might fall.
That's right.
Boom.
Yeah.
And then they have to pull up again, and they keep going. Like, sometimes they'll fall and cry, and sometimes they'll laugh, and sometimes they just look like, well, what? How did that happen? I that's not what I saw in my vision.
Right.
I thought I could just pull up there and walk over there like I see everybody else doing around me.
Yes.
But so for me, the baby step process in relationship to what we're going through in our day-to-day life, we go through this process all the time, over and over again, because there's things we get strong in, and then we learn to walk, and then there's something else we learn and teach ourselves, and we begin again with the whole we're laying down, looking around, we're crawling, we're walking.
Exactly.
So that is the baby step process. And when we apply it to ourselves, it's patience with our growth.
Well, is that true? That's exactly right. Because we do all, you know, face challenges and stuff happens and we get knocked down again, and then we have to get up and not fear the possibility of the negative happening again, and then say, well, I'm just going to allow and do the best I can and take this as an experience, you know. So, I mean, that's right. That's exactly what you do. It's
just
the baby step process.
And when you think about it, too, a baby is very supportive of themselves.
Sure. Yes.
You know, because, and people around them are supportive, but that's because that baby is vibrating, I'm going to do this.
That's right.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't care how long it takes me. I'm going to do it. And some of them kind of sit down and just eat a lot and don't even think about it because they're not ready. And that's okay. And it's no rules. You have to walk by the time you're this age. No.
Right.
You go according to your own pace and you take your steps and you're proud of your steps.
Yes.
And nobody's kicking you down and saying, oh, you failed. Then you're just so crazy or you stupid or blah,
that's
blah.
Right.
Nobody's
exactly.
saying that. No. Who ever heard of that?
That's right. I know. And I know
people encourage babies.
Exactly. And I know you're applying this to us as adults, who you help as a life coach.
Yes.
And, you know, the self-empowerment expert and everything. And
totally.
What I find is that, you know, with a lot of young adults, 30s and 20s, 30s and 40-somethings, who I see, you know, in my work, it's exactly what you're saying. About that, I've got to be. I have so many young women. Oh, my body clock's running out. I want to be a mom, and I've met losers. I don't want to have a, you know, marry some guy just to be. You know, I don't want a sperm donor, and I don't want, you know. So I hear all these, you know, exactly. It's like be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
Know and learn how to identify people who you want.
Yeah.
Stop chasing the bad boys, the bad girls, and the, you know, the ones that are exciting and getting you in trouble.
Good point.
Don't you think we get addicted to that drama too?
And then
we get into bad situations and say, oops. And then we go back out there and do it again. Right?
Yeah. Yes. So. Until we learn to identify, and that's why we need tools. That's why we need to pay attention. How does this feel? This doesn't feel good.
Mm-mm.
This doesn't That goes for everything that you bring into your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
If you're reading a book and it's making you feel sad and fearful, why read it?
Yes.
I mean, of course you have a right to read whatever you want to, and there's no right or wrong in it.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, when we pay attention to how we feel, it's so worth it.
That's right.
Not to bring things into our consciousness.
Exactly.
That's going to make us feel not good.
Exactly. And exactly. And just like the media, though, you know, you and I have talked about this before. It's, you know, it's, ew, find out what's going on in the news and then shut that thing off because, you know, the visuals are so imprinting, you know, on our psyche. And it's just scary. You know, it's media. Everything, you know, we're taking in. And it does sell. The bad news is the stuff that sells because it's whoa. And I think the underlying psyche of that sometimes is, whoo, that person's a lot worse off than me, so that makes me feel better about myself. Right?
Really? I hadn't thought of it that way. Huh?
You know,
I hadn't thought of it that way. I've wondered why do we as a whole seem to resonate more with sadness than happiness. Songs of heartbreak and heartache and news that doesn't feel good, and you already know it's going to really mess with your mind, and you still. And, and I'm so happy that most of my friends' circles right now are kind of trained. They just about know me by now. They're like, such and such happened. Oh, that's right. You don't know about that. That's okay. I'm not going to. I'm not. My niece told me the other day, that's okay. You stay pure. I'm not going to tell.
Wow.
And I thought, that
I want that kind of support.
That was
group.
A great.
See, they know you don't want to hear it.
They don't even tell me anymore. Yeah. People don't tell me anything because they know. I'm like this. People say, well, you need to know what's going on. Why? It's the same thing that's been going on.
Right.
It's just a different time, a different name,
right.
a little different situation.
Right, right.
But we all create our own world, and in my world, I just want to be happy. That's all I want. That's not.
That's right. And so moving from that, because I know a lot of people would say, well, yeah, that's all well and fine. And we've heard about trying to be happy and meditating and having positive affirmations. But how can I be happy with, oh, my gosh, I've been dumped and I've lost my job and I got in a car accident and blah, blah, on and on and on. How can we be happy with all these things that have hit us?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that?
Well... That's why it's so important to pay attention to how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to bring into your consciousness what feels good, because that's going to create more feeling good things in your life.
Yes.
You are going to attract the vibrational frequency that you put out there predominantly.
Yes.
If it's a mixture, then you're going to have a mixture. And that's what I was saying on the hookup this morning. If you have a mixture of things that feel good and things that don't feel good, well, then you're going to bring both of them.
Yes.
You're going to bring both of them in.
Yes.
But if you have predominantly feel good, then that's what you're going to bring in. If you have predominantly not feeling good, then that's what you're going to bring in.
Right.
So that's
right.
what happens. And a trick with the things they're talking about or complaining about, like jobs and people that are in their lives or whatever, the trick is seeing everything is wonderful, and then everything does become wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And I love that affirmation, everything always works out for me.
Yes, me too.
Despite everything else
me
is,
too.
You know, seemingly chaotic around you, it's, you just, and isn't it, you know, somebody was telling me, about grieving that they were going through or, and some other really heavy issues. And I said, you know, and you and I know about the contrast and everything. You got to know the bad to know the good. Right. But somebody said, right. But it's just the contrast is so important. But, you know, just knowing that. And somebody said to me, you know, this sucks. It feels pretty bad, but isn't it rich? Isn't it feel delicious to have such pain? And I went, huh? Ooh, what kind of meds are you on? You know, give me that. Give me some of that.
But you know, it is true.
But you know what? The richness
some people really
of,
do.
The richness of the feeling to embrace that this really sucks and it hurts, but it's part of the human experience.
Ah.
Feel it, go through it, move on.
Move on. That's right. Move on. That's I totally agree with that, because things happen, and sometimes, I mean, first of all, we're not going to jump up off the floor and start walking, okay?
Mm-mm. That's right.
So with that being said, we're not going to think the thoughts all the time that are going to bring us what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got different things working in our frequencies out there. And so when something comes that doesn't feel good, move on.
That's exactly
right. Use your tools. Recognize it. Oh, that doesn't feel good. I can do this another way.
Right.
I can feel good. I can feel better. I can feel better and better. And so let me think on those things that feel good right now. Let me just shift that.
Yes.
Energy.
And we're not talking about denial because,
no.
you know, shoving things down that are really painful and horrible. No, we're talking about feel it and acknowledge it. And I think this is where a lot of people really come to see me, is where they stay in that place. They're so traumatized and hang on to the suffering and abuse, you and I were talking about, from early childhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, bad relationships, bullies, et cetera. And they, you know, they just can't get out of that loop. But you coach people to get out of that continual loop of life sucks and it may happen again and I'm fearful and that kind of thing.
Right. Well, the thing I gently suggest is realizing that sometimes the pain feels good to us. Sometimes we're happy in our misery.
Mm.
There's no judgment about that.
Yeah.
There's no judgment, period.
Yep.
But there is another way if one is interested. But
exactly.
it takes that wanting to move past it.
Yes.
And if we don't want to and we're okay with the pain, like he said, the one person said they love the feeling of it.
Mm-hmm.
I went through something like that several years ago. There was something that had happened in my past.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how much I was comfortable with that pain.
Ah, I see.
Holding on to
it. Yes, yes.
And then when I realized it, I said, oh, I'm keeping myself out of happiness because I'm so comfortable. I have made this pain part of my identity.
Yes.
And I'm robbing myself of happiness and going forward because I'm holding on to that pain.
Wow, that's profound. That really is, exactly.
We don't have to hold on
That's
to
right.
it. I just want to say we don't have to.
God,
it's our
it's
choice.
So true. It's so true. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. And my special guest today, Shea Prince Eternal. She's a life coach and empowerment specialist. And I love having you on because you do take such a loving and kind approach to your clients. You are spiritual somewhat, but you're also, you know, step by step, down to earth. You really, you know, as you said, encourage people to look at things. And you're also non-judgmental, which is so lovely. You know, you shouldn't do it that way. That's not the right way. You just sort of gently kind of nudge people, give those suggestions and everything, which I love, Shea. It's so
Thank
nice.
Thank you.
You know, we were just talking about early scars and relationships and how we do become, as I call it, addicted to that drama. And it's not that we like it necessarily. It's just that that's all we know. How many young women and men have you worked with, or older? What am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
Who keep picking the wrong person, no matter who it is, no matter what their gender preferences are or anything. They keep picking the wrong. And you find out that mommy or daddy was abusive, told them they were stupid, not worthy, never told them they were loved, never hugged them.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep picking that person who will never be able to do that for them. And because they're so used to it, because they don't realize they deserve. They think this is all they deserve, right?
Deserve. Worthiness.
Yes.
That, you just said such a key word right there. Because it isn't about that person that they keep choosing. It is about the fact they're not choosing themselves.
Mm.
They're not seeing their self-worth. They're not seeing that, hey, I deserve a wonderful partner, easy, flowing, that feels good. I deserve this. I'm worthy of this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that me and my partner won't grow together. Doesn't mean we won't have things that we may work on and grow individually and grow together. But it means that we're both willing to do that. We're willing to look at ourselves and say, hey, I love me and I love you. And we together are a expansive journey of ease, of flow, of a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
When we keep choosing a partner that doesn't feel good, and then we're feeling like all of sorts about that, it usually suggests that we just get more in touch with ourselves and love ourselves more, so that we do attract someone else who loves themselves. And then the two together, amazing.
Mm. Yes, exactly. You know, and it's working together. And I know you work with couples as well. And it's just, you know, a lot of it is learning how to communicate better and really looking at your own self-defensive mechanisms. What the heck are you trying to defend? Because you think you're not good enough. And why are you always, you know, ready to challenge your partner? It's like, look at, it's okay. You don't have to be a warrior anymore. You know, have, you know, let go of that ego and have, you know, have some humility and say, you know, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I screwed up. I am jealous. I do think yucky thoughts sometimes. I am greedy sometimes. You know, be willing to say, yeah, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. We all have these traits.
None of us are bad people.
No.
None of us are bad people. I just, everyone out there who's listening, you're amazing. Mm. And it's just so important that you see that, that mm-hmm. you understand you are amazing.
So true.
It doesn't matter if your parents didn't say that. You can be your parent. You can say that to yourself now. Mm-hmm. Because the only reason they didn't say it is because nobody said it to them.
It's so true. Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's just, and really, some of the steps that you give people to learn these things are really wonderful and helpful. And we're going to be telling folks how they can find you and get in touch with you and learn more about you and your work as a life coach and empowerment specialist. I love that. I think that's really great. So let's talk about, I was looking at a lot of your YouTube videos. I always love to look at your stuff because you have such a great presence on camera. And
Thank you. You're so gentle.
You're so gentle and kind. What do you think are some of the reasons that you think that so many people constantly compete with each other mm-hmm. or compare themselves with each other? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got to do better than that person, or I'm not worthy because I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, that far along in my education, or I never had an education,
yes.
or I'm not, I don't have a great salary. Or,
uh-huh.
Why do we do all that? Why do we do that?
You know, I think at the core of that is the knowledge that we really are part of all the great energy that created worlds.
Hmm.
I think that on some level, we know our greatness, everybody, mm-hmm. no matter how disempowered we may feel in the moment
mm-hmm.
or in that part of our lives. We know we are amazing, fantastic, magnificent beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that has not been guided.
Yes.
That has not been programmed. The opposite has been programmed after thousands and thousands of years
right.
of people that are out of alignment,
mm-hmm.
that are not in touch with who we really are,
mm-hmm.
that have continued to teach that throughout the generations. And then that's where all this competition comes in and mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. comparing thing comes in. And some of it is really, really ridiculous because when you think of, And it's unfortunate. I guess ridiculous is more of a judgment saying people are being ridiculous, and I don't want to say that, so I retract that. But I think that the reason why it feels so off is because it is off of who we really are.
Yes.
It's off of who we really are, and we don't realize it.
Yeah.
So until we get back on track of who we are and see ourselves as the amazing people that we are.
Yeah, it's true.
then we can stop it, but it still takes steps. We still have to take our baby steps.
Yes.
I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
People all over the world are saying, well, how many degrees do you have and where did you go to school and how many did you have and blah, blah, blah. But yet everybody upholds Einstein as one of the geniuses
yes.
of all time.
Right, right.
And Einstein dropped out of school.
Yes.
So it's kind of weird, isn't it? That's
yes.
kind of cockamamie right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with that picture?
That's right.
That there are so many millionaires, billionaires, people that are acknowledged as the most smart of ever, or
yeah.
the greatest
yeah.
geniuses
yes.
of the world,
yeah.
but
the
yet they don't fit in those boxes.
That's right. They don't fit
in those boxes.
Exactly.
And I just think all of us it's a good idea if we all jump out of our box and be the best us that we can be.
That's right.
And not worry about what the next person is doing or not doing. And just co-create together. Just love. Mm-hmm. Just be. Mm-hmm. And that starts with loving ourselves, because when we're not judging ourselves, we're not judging other people. But that's where a lot of that self-approval comes, because we're not approving of ourselves in the beginning. So then we're not approving of it. We're finding fault with anybody else as well.
That's you nailed it. Pardon me. And what I see, I'm going to cough. The cough button here is a little iffy on the air live. Thank you.
Yay.
The cough button.
Cough button.
You know, I was, you know, the iffy thing. It's so true how, you know, we have to really, you know, get in touch with who we are and be okay with that. Exactly. Be okay with who we are. And it's okay if we, you know, we just can't sort of compare. I mean, it does give us goals if we'd like to achieve a certain, you know, type of career, something mm-hmm. we can use other people to inspire us. But you were talking about putting our stuff on other people because we're not okay about who we are. That's a lot of times what our parents did. And, and you and I have learned to just forgive and love them because they didn't know any better.
They didn't.
They're
projecting
their own unlearned fears onto us. And then we, in turn, feel like we're not loved or worthy. But the reality is, gosh, they didn't know any better. And what you do, which I love, is you want to stop the chain. That family chain of, you know, well, I'm angry too because I was, you know, abused. So I'm going to put my anger on my kid, and that kid puts their anger. And, you know, it's just, it's, you stop the chain in your life coaching work, which is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I suggest that you start from where you are right now and let your parents off the hook. As a matter of fact, I'm a performing artist as well. So I've written a spoken word on rocking this baby, and the purpose of that spoken word is to let your people off the hook.
Yes.
Whoever may have taught you, or your lover, or whoever it feels like did something that didn't feel good, it's because they weren't feeling good themselves.
Exactly.
It doesn't have anything to do with you, period. So why take power away from yourself over something that wasn't personal?
That's exactly right. But we do, and we also have, you know, we're born, as you were talking about with, you know, the baby steps, but we're born, you know, in our early development as Homo sapiens, I guess, we have survival instincts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the problem nowadays, because we're not chasing the tiger. We're not going to be eaten by, you know, any other animal. Some of us go out and gather and collect the berries and nurse, you know, the children and all that, but it's so different. But we still have that old brain response of survival mechanisms. So when we feel fear, which we do, we see body language from others, which seems to be threatening. You know, we're always beep, beep, beep. We're like the beacons of, you know, alert to survive. But here we are in the, you know, the internet age of, you know, enlightenment.
Right.
And we still have those old survival mechanisms that we're always alerted to. So we have to, like, go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my intuition up to take care of what doesn't feel right and move on or whatever. But you have to also, you know, manage that, I guess I call it knee-jerk emotional reaction to things that may not even be bad. Scary things.
Yeah, just feel it in the moment and release the self-judgment.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've found that I've been working on as I become a baby over and over again and expand and learn things. Mm-hmm. Something will happen and I'll go, wow, that didn't feel good.
Yes.
Or that brought tears to my eyes. And so then I go, first I soothe myself.
Yes.
First I just soothe myself and give myself a lot of love.
You have to.
And then once I feel back on track, I can say, this is showing me where more love is needed, where more acceptance totally of who I am. And who I am is amazing. And there's no one else responsible to tell me that but me.
Yeah.
And so when you get to that point, you can go through anything and you will still come out smelling like roses.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
that's
you'll exactly be able to return to yourself every time. And then if you practice feeling good more and more.
Mm-hmm. That's right,
exactly. It'll be less and less that you feel that way. Right, and you'll feel better and better in your life and love yourself more.
And that's what you teach your clients as a life coach and empowerment specialist. And we're just about out of time. We have a hard break coming up with CBS News. But I want to make sure that you let listeners know how they can find you, learn more about you, get in touch with you. What's the best way?
All right. Go on my website, www.sheaprinceeternal, SHEAHPRINCEETERNAL.com.
Beautiful. And of course, you can watch all of her videos, and, you know, you can also see her blogs, read those, get some help, and just find out, you know,
how... Google me.
Google her! She's all over the place. You're all over the internet. What's up with that? How'd you get that? And you've got a great presence, and you're wonderful and helpful.
Thank
and
you.
Loving.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Sheaprince,
thank
for
you.
Being here.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, mine as well.
And I know you helped a lot of listeners today.
Yes. Yay. They helped me too.
Oh, good.
We vibrated together.
There you go. All right, Dr. Michelle here. I'm out of the studio in a moment, and I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others, and that's the way it works in the world. Be back next week with more of the best of On the Couch.
Got you on my mind again tonight.